You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
I may be showing my age. I remember Lloyd Bridges. Yes, that's Bo and Jeff Bridges' dad, and his American television undersea adventure series of the 1960s, Sea Hunt. Okay, it was the reruns. It seemed like he was forever saving scuba divers who were suffering with the bends with the use of the decompression chamber, also known as hyperbaric oxygen chamber. And who hasn't seen the movie Mary Poppins and didn't sing along with a song, A Spoonful of Sugar? Well, veterinary medicine is using hyperbaric oxygen, sugar, and leeches. Yes, those blood-sucking creatures from medieval times to treat and cure a myriad of animal conditions. And this isn't by a bunch of fringe quack doctors. My guest is Dr. Nicole Puot. She is a board-certified veterinary surgeon who practices in Los Angeles and has special interest in advanced wound care, cancer reconstructive surgery, minimally invasive procedures, including laparoscopy, thoracoscopy, arthroscopy, and interventional radiology techniques. We'll be right back after this short break. So I know it's a little gross, leeches, but stay tuned. It's fascinating.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
It's DesignerPetSweaters.com, the latest fashion trends for our furry friends. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit DesignerPetSweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Your pets will stay warm for the winter and be runway ready. Large or small, we fit them all. DesignerPetSweaters.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Puot, thank you so much for being with us today. I am fascinated to learn about leeches. I've heard about and used the hyperbaric oxygen and also sugaring, but leeches? Oh my goodness. Number one, give us a little bit of background of who you are.
Thank you for having me. It's great talking about a topic that I think is sort of interesting as well as kind of new to many of our veterinary clients. I've been practicing for over 10 years now, graduated from Tufts on the East Coast and did my residency at AMC in New York City, and then moved out to California about 5 years ago. And so I've been at VCA West Los Angeles for about 3 of those years, practicing at a specialty, kind of a hybrid practice where we have general practitioners and specialists there. So
this must be just a fascinating, I mean, what I love about veterinary medicine is things are always changing, and you have these new advanced procedures, and I know with using this interventional radiology, and we can talk a little bit about that, but sometimes it's just fascinating that you can go back to some old-fashioned, tried-and-true procedures. So I would love to start off with talking about leeches. give a little background of the use of leeches, because I remember reading in history books about leeches were put on bodies to remove bad humors, and if you were having mental conditions, they thought you could suck out the badness. Tell us a little bit about leech medicine.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to look at the history of leeching, because the height of leeching was in the 18th century. And as you said, it was most commonly used for either mental disorders, diseases like whooping cough, gout, certain tumors they thought, even something as simple as headaches they would try and use them for. What came about, however, was these were very ineffective treatments for all of those disease processes. So the use of leeching dropped dramatically and really only came back in the 21st century for what we now use it for, which is mostly microsurgical complications such as reattaching fingers or earlobes. That's really some of the most commonly uses for leeches right now in human medicine. But there are actually people studying non-traditional uses with leeches for osteoarthritis and ear infections and compartment syndrome as well. And as, you know, it becomes more mainstream in human medicine, of course, we in the veterinary literature and veterinary field like to also be able to explore this in our patients, because we have many of the same problems with skin flaps and reconstruction and constrictive disease processes in our cats and dogs. So we want to be able to benefit from that.
Now, leeches, you know, the other thing that comes to mind is when we had the Vietnam conflict and our soldiers were there going through the rice paddies, getting these leeches and pulling them off themselves. And if I understand correctly, leeches, they didn't even feel them. It's like, how can this creature that has all these teeth attach, suck blood, and how much blood can they suck?
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. I mean, there are about 700 different species of leeches. The most common one used in medicinal applications is this Haruto medicinalis. But they do. They have 60 to 100 teeth. They have three jaws, and they usually create this typical sort of star or Y-shaped bite mark. The amazing thing about them, though, is that they create over 100 different bioactive compounds in their saliva, and one of the best ones is an anesthetic that they produce. So the bite appears to be painless, which is very nice for our patients, as well as obviously for humans who get, you know, treatments for different, you know, diseases that they have. And they usually take about 1 to 2 teaspoons of blood per feeding. The really fascinating part is that the bite mark will continue to bleed about the exact same amount. So you'll lose about 2 to 4 teaspoons total from that leaching process.
You know, I'm listening to this and I realize that you are the expert that when I have complications in surgery, I'd want to send one of my animals to you. But the thought of, you know, sticking little leeches on their body, and then are they hospitalized with these leeches, or do they get to go home with leeches hanging from their body?
That would be a little bit difficult for most of my clients to put up with, I have to admit.
Or me.
So yes. So yes, they are in the hospital during the leeching process. It is, you know, it's a little bit of a process, but it's not really very bad. Like I said, it's painless, so we don't have to medicate them. We usually don't even have to, you know, sedate them at all, depending on the demeanor, you know, of the animal, the cat, the dog. Really, what happens is, depending on why they're getting it done. So if they're getting it done because a reconstructive skin flap has become kind of engorged with, you know, venous blood and needs somewhere to go because the little veins have not, you know, healed properly, or they're kind of overwhelmed, then the animal, you know, comes in during the morning. We clean the site, you know, appropriately. There are, you know, very specific ways in which we have to prepare the site. And then we place the leeches on. Once they've fed, they drop off on their own. We keep the animal in the hospital for a few hours because they are going to continue to bleed from that site. If it's a site we can bandage, we'll bandage just to keep them, you know, more clean and sort of comfortable. And then once the bleeding stops, they get to go home that day. So it's usually a pretty, you know, simple, straightforward procedure for our animals.
All right, next question. Do you have your own little leech farm there at your VCA hospital, or do you need to outsource your leeches? Where do you find leeches?
Well, it's fascinating. There's a company, Leeches USA, that we actually order our leeches from, and we do usually have some on hand, but you can get them overnighted within 24 hours. So if we've, you know, kind of run out, it's never been a problem. The nice thing about leeching is it's rarely an emergency. You know that it's kind of there. A flap is, you know, kind of heading that way. Or even if you see it as an appointment one day, you can have them come right back the next day and get the procedure done. And they come in all sorts of different. They call it a mobile home that the leeches live in. If you order a large amount, if you only order a few, they just come in a, you know, plastic bag with saline that they live in. So, you know, interestingly, you keep them in the refrigerator. So that's kind of where they live in our hospital when we're not using them.
And I'm sure you're not leaving your lunch right next to the leeches, yes?
No, definitely not.
It is fascinating to hear about this, especially since this is an 18th century treatment for obesity, for mental illness, that's now being used really to save tissue, where otherwise, what are some of your other alternatives if you weren't using something like leeches?
Yeah, it would be difficult because for us, like I said, our main goal with using them is with skin reconstructive. So when we're doing skin flaps, this is usually after severe wounds, burns, trauma, or cancer, or constrictive wounds, which was one of the first areas that I saw it when an animal had a constrictive wound, you know, from rubber bands or from bandages that basically damaged all of the veins. The only other way to really treat this would be some mechanical leeching, where you try and prick the skin and get some bleeding. But the problem is that's not nearly as effective as these little creatures. And in people, they, you know, have tried other different, you know, methods of leeching, and some of them are effective and some of them are not. And so there really isn't a good, you know, alternative. And so I think before we started using this, we had a lot of tissue loss. We had a lot of, you know, complications with these types of cases. It's really elevated the type of treatments we can give our patients now.
Now, I personally and the colleagues in my area in Southern California don't know of anyone who's ever used it. Is it hard to find a veterinarian who's using leeching, number one? Number two, I'm sure it varies from case to case as to how many treatments are necessary. And the last question is, how expensive?
Not very expensive. You know, we usually charge, it depends on how many, you know, how big of an area. So it's a little hard to give estimates, but it's, you know, can be a couple hundred dollars to $400, you know, depending, like I said, on the number and how many treatments and whether we have to sedate if the animal is a little bit, you know, of a more grumpy demeanor. But it's not too terrible. And especially when you're thinking of probably the thousands of dollars people have spent on the reconstructive, you know, treatment. It's not usually something that they bat an eyelash on. With regard to finding people, it is probably a little bit more difficult. I've given talks at national lectures about this and obviously written a few articles on it. And so I'm trying to get the word out. I think it is something that general practitioners could use. It's a matter of knowing which cases, because there are very specific case requirements for leeching. Every swollen paw does not require a leech. You know, it's very important to know which cases would benefit and which cases wouldn't. And so I think that is, you know, part of my job is to try and educate people as to the best cases for it.
I know you're also educating veterinarians about other innovative wound treatments. What are some of the other ones? I talked a little bit about sugaring, and that's something that's now coming back into vogue, but that's an old-fashioned treatment also.
Yeah, sugar and honey. And I would say, you know, at least from talking to, you know, most of the other sort of specialists in wound care that I've dealt with at, you know, different conferences and along my career, more and more we're using more honey than we are sugar, but it's all the same, you know, kind of idea behind it, which is this antimicrobial, you know, sort of antibacterial treatment that has very sort of low side effects in it, especially if you're using medical grade honey or sugar. And these are just topical treatments for wounds, you know. There's nothing, you know, too magical about it, but they keep the wound nice and healthy and moist, and they are antibacterial. And so it's a great, you know, combination for some of these severe wounds. Some of the other things that are very, you know, kind of new to veterinary medicine, although, you know, not unheard of at all, are these negative pressure therapy wound treatments. And that's where you place a vacuum bandage on the patient. Those do require the patient to be hospitalized for a few days. They've been used in human medicine for 20 years, many times on diabetic wounds, which are the hardest to get to heal. And we have a good base of data now in veterinary medicine as well, looking at these treatments. And it's another one of my sort of areas of interest, is using those bandages.
I'm chatting right now with Dr. Nicole Buat. She is a board-certified veterinary surgeon at VCA Animal Hospital in Los Angeles. We'll be right back after the short break. Definitely want to go back a little bit to the sugar and then hear about this negative pressure. I have this vision of a Dyson vacuum cleaner stuck on an animal and sucking on the wounds, but I have a feeling that's not how it goes. So we'll be right back after the short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Dyson. The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radio root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to PetLifeRadio.com/Dyson. PetLifeRadio.com/Dyson to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
There's nothing more delicious and healthy than an old family recipe. And for over 50 years, our family's been creating them especially for your pets. Nutrisource Super Premium Pet Foods. Dog and cat food that's all natural, holistic, and organic. Nutrisource Pet Foods contain our patented Good for Life system for your pet's optimum health and well-being. So, order now. Safe quality food made by our family for your furry family members. Go to NutriSourcePetFoods.com.
From our family to yours, KLN Family Brands.
Hi, this is T.O.D. Anderson, and I'm the host of Get Positive Results on Pet Life Radio. We're going to talk about a variety of topics on canine behavior and training, all based on modern methods that are fun for you and your dog. We might be talking about other critters, too. So join us on Get Positive Results. We'll talk about common issues between you and your dog, answer your questions, discuss different activities you can do with your dog, and keep you posted on current canine news and products. All this on Get Positive Results on Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Buat, before we get into this negative pressure, going back a little bit to the honey that you were talking to before the break. Now, we all have jars of honey, likely, you know, on our shelf. They seem to last forever. But, you know, I also know that diabetics with the sugar in their urine, boy, that's just a perfect medium for bacteria to set up housekeeping. So how is it that putting sugar on a wound is antibacterial or using something like honey?
It's really fascinating, but they have looked at specific components in, of course, a specific type of honey. The best type of honey to use is Manuka honey. So you definitely don't want to grab, you know, the honey that comes in the little bear jar and put it all over, you know, your dog or cat if they have some type of wound. There's a specific type of honey that has the best sort of chemical components for medical.
So you shouldn't try this at home, in other words.
Exactly. But what it really does is there are chemicals within this honey that have been shown to be antimicrobial, which are really sort of fascinating. And, you know, as I said, not all honeys are sort of, you know, created equal, but there's also the fact that the honey and the sugar can create such an osmotic pull, meaning they pull a lot of water out of cells that's also been shown to be very, you know, antibacterial and very soothing to the underlying tissue. So there are a lot of very specific sort of chemical properties to honey that can create the perfect environment for wound healing. And in people, they have a lot of serious data, you know, with thousands of patients involved, with burn victims especially, showing improved healing with honey dressings. So it is, you know, certainly not, you know, kind of anecdotal anymore. We have pure science showing us that these dressings really help.
Are there any contraindications for using this? You know, you have a diabetic patient. Can you put sugar on it?
Yeah, you absolutely can. You're not really worried about absorption of any type of, you know, glucose from these wounds. We use them all the time in animals with endocrine problems. I would say the only contraindication is there are different phases of wound healing. And so I always am trying to teach our interns and our doctors at our hospital that not every wound bed is ready for honey. You know, there are different phases of healing, right? And so some of the wounds, when they're super infected, they don't need a honey bandage right away. They need more of a debriding bandage. They need something that's going to help clean that surface before you put the honey on them. The honey is not going to pull away, you know, gross contamination. So it's all about, once again, knowing when to use these things, because I think, you know, people can become frustrated with leaching or sugaring or negative pressure. Any of these things, if they don't use it appropriately, then they're not going to see the effects, you know, that they are expecting.
And then right before the break, you were talking about using negative pressure. So we're not sticking a Dyson, we're not using a vacuum cleaner on this pet. How do you get this constant negative pressure onto wound?
Yeah, it's actually one of the areas that I've published on, and it's one area that I'm very, very fond of talking about, because there are so many benefits to these types of bandages that I could talk about them for hours. But there are specific medical grade units, suction units, that we use and that are available to private practitioners from different companies. There are now two different companies, at least, that I know of that are selling to veterinary practitioners. And they have a very specific amount of pressure. It's about 125 millimeters of mercury that you want to be, you know, suctioning the wound bed. And there's a range, but 125 is our usual goal.
What does a vacuum cleaner put out? Any idea?
No idea, but it's more than that for sure. So once again, not a do-it-yourself type of bandage you wanna be putting onto Fluffy. But there's a very specific type of foam that we attach this, you know, suction tubing to. And what this does, I mean, there are so many different benefits to it, but in short, it decreases bacterial colonization, or the ability for bacteria to become, you know, commonplace in that wound from the negative pressure. It decreases edema or fluid accumulation in that wound from the suction. It allows the wound bed to continue to stay moist because it is protected, and it decreases some very important chemicals that have been shown to be toxic to cells, as well as the actual stretch on the tissues can increase angiogenesis, or new blood vessel formation, which is, of course, key to healing. So there are so many different positives to this type of wound management. The only negative is cost and, you know, the hospitalization of it, for sure.
I can imagine this is not an inexpensive proposition. Now, some people do have pet insurance. Would pet insurance, depending on the company, cover a unique therapy like this?
Yes, they do usually cover it. And, you know, once again, it's not terribly expensive in the scheme of things. You know, it's always difficult to give, you know, of course, estimates, because every case is so different. It's usually about $500 a day at our hospital, you know, give or take. And that's just for the treatment. That's not for any ancillary, you know, other things like fluids or, you know, other things that a critical patient that might need this might be on, you know. But the procedure itself is not thousands and thousands of dollars like it is in human medicine, and most veterinary insurances will cover it. So, you know, hopefully that helps defray the cost.
And sometimes it doesn't sound like there's many alternatives to something like this negative pressure wound therapy.
Not ones that that create that same type of healing. I mean, back before we had sort of access to this, we used to do a lot of wet to dry bandages, which I'm sure you're, you know, very familiar with. And you know that those can be extremely time and cost intensive as well, because some of those bandages, which are the same type of idea in debriding, you know, cleaning the wound bed, which the vacuum is so good at doing, but it doesn't have any of those other benefits that I talked about. And the owners are coming back in every day for those to be changed. Animals are getting sedated every day, potentially. So the cost, there is a cost difference, but it is not as great as you might think. And the amount of effort, if you've got a really infected wound, you might be having the dog getting changed 2-3 times a day. So it's very, I think this type of treatment has changed the way, you know, our animals are getting through these wounds. I mean, it is dramatic, the difference.
And these wounds, as you were saying before, can come from all sorts of different reasons. Hit by a car, dog fight, cat fight, cancer that needed to be removed, even a non-cancerous mass. I had a client just come in the other day, been monitoring this lump on the leg and said, we really need to remove it now. Oh, no, we're going to watch it. And now it's removing, instead of the lump from the leg, the dog from the lump, because it's gotten so huge. It's like, this is going to be almost impossible to close properly. So oftentimes, those people that are listening right now, if there's a lesion on your pet, it's always so much better to address something early on. You have a greater chance of having a more beneficial outcome, positive outcome, usually cost you less complications. So don't put it off whenever possible. Always have it addressed and see what can be done for these things.
I agree completely. And we do, we use these, all of these different treatments, of course, but we do use the vacuum a lot for not only super infective wounds that you see with bites and with hit by car, shearing wounds, burns, we use quite a bit of it, but also for cancer reconstruction, because if we're placing skin grafts, we know that placing the vacuum on top of a skin graft will help it heal. If we're doing skin flaps, that there are a lot of tension, you can place this vacuum bandage just on the incision line to decrease the amount of tension on that to also help heal. So there are so many different versatile uses for these types of bandages and these types of treatments. It's all about, you know, making sure that people are watching the wounds, watching the incisions, and assessing them very frequently so that we can get these treatments started as soon as we need to, if we have to.
I'd like you, Dr. Buat, just to somewhat redefine. You mentioned a wet to dry dressing. I know what it is, but the listeners won't. And then also a skin flap. It's like, okay, I can see a skin graft. We've all heard of skin grafts, but what do you mean by a flap? Like this little flap flapping in the airs? Explain that one to them.
Yeah, no, of course. So a wet to dry bandage is a very commonly used bandage in veterinary medicine. And what it basically is it's a sterilely applied bandage. So, you know, sterile gloves, sterile gauze on your, you know, dog or cat that we have wet with sterile saline, and we wring it out so it's not sopping wet, but it's moist, and it is there to help keep the wound bed moist, but also to help it adhere to the wound bed. And we use the gauze that's impregnated with the saline to help us clean the wound bed, basically, so that what's going to happen is we apply it wet, and then over the course of the day, or depending on how long we leave it on, that saline impregnated gauze is going to dry, and that's hence the name wet to dry. So it starts off wet and then it becomes dry. And then when we remove the bandage, when we remove the gauze, we're going to be removing any, you know, pus or material that has been stuck to that wound with the gauze, and that's going to help clean the wound. And so these are cleaning or debriding bandages that we use for really infected or early stage wounds. With regard to the skin flap, what that is it's a technique that we use, sort of in a case like you were just talking, where there is a large defect either from trauma or from cancer, you know, or reconstructive technique, where we have to move skin from one area of the body nearby to close a wound that is kind of next to it. So we call them axillary pattern flaps. They're usually a little kind of U-shaped flap of skin that we're borrowing from a different area that brings with it its own blood supply that we can then place in a large defect. And amazingly, you know, we have all of this worked out, so we know which kind of areas of skin we can and can't move and how we can move the skin so that it, you know, survives in a new location. But they're, you know, very intensive procedures and, you know, obviously kind of put the, you know, owner and animal and doctor all through a lot of discussion before we perform a procedure like that.
It's amazing. I've done very few, but seeing what someone such as yourself can do in repairing these huge defects and moving skin from here and there, it's like, wow. And it heals, the fur grows back, and thankfully fur heals and covers those scars. They look fabulous afterwards. Sometimes the fur pattern's a little bit off, but
exactly.
It's amazing.
Sometimes you have like a nipple on the knee instead of on the belly anymore. That's always something to kind of warn the owners about. It's funny. Usually it's the men who get most upset about that, not the women. But yeah, they can look a little funny, but still wicked cute. And obviously, most importantly, happy and healed.
Perfect. Now, I mentioned in the introduction the old Lloyd Bridges TV show, Sea Hunt, and how they'd use the decompression chambers. But now you're using those same type of decompression chambers, hyperbaric oxygen, for treating a myriad of different conditions. Please talk about it. I think it's just fascinating.
Yeah, hyperbaric oxygen has definitely, as you said, been around for a long time with regard to different treatments for people. With animals, there is definitely a sort of more specific use that we use for it. And it basically, what we do know is that that kind of increase, you're basically placing an animal, you know, within a small chamber that has a very high oxygen level in it. And that higher level of oxygen is antibacterial, basically. And it can also infuse those tissues with this high oxygen level, which is really good for wound healing. You know, other things that we know about wound healing are, you know, animals that are anemic or have a low blood volume, they take longer to heal, and it's all about oxygen delivery. They don't have those red blood cells giving their new wound bed as much oxygen and energy as the wound bed needs. And so hyperbaric oxygen therapy works along that same line. It basically allows the body to see this 100% oxygen. Remember, the air that we breathe only has about 20% oxygen. So we're, you know, our room air is not as oxygenated as we think it is. And when we go into a chamber that has 100% oxygen, that's really allowing all of our tissues to get much more of that, you know, kind of vital substance for wound healing.
Besides wounds, I also understand that hyperbaric oxygen has been used for everything from seizures to disc disease. So you think of that dachshund that has just suddenly blows a disc in its back and is paralyzed. And they've actually used it for situations like that. So what are some of the other indications for using this hyperbaric oxygen 100% pressure?
It is, I mean, it's an ongoing area of interest and research, I think, in veterinary medicine. I always tell people I'm a very sort of research, you know, kind of science-based doctor, having done a lot of clinical research and doing a lot right now. I have a lot of different studies that I'm ongoing, enrolling patients into. So I always try to look at sort of the evidence that's out there. And there are some anecdotal and, you know, some studies looking at other treatments, like you said, for seizures or for back disorders, but we don't have a lot of data on those yet. You know what I mean? So we're still really waiting. Really, the prime data that we have in veterinary medicine is with regard to inhalation injuries for, you know, burn victim animals and for wounds. Those are really what we know hyperbaric oxygen works well for.
It is just amazing, and I'm so glad I'm a veterinarian, because there are so many fabulous things that we can now do that we could never do before, such as referring people to yourself, Dr. Nicole Buat, and you are a staff veterinarian, a board-certified veterinary surgeon at VCA West Los Angeles. Dr. Buat, thank you so much for being with us today. It was fascinating, a little bit creepy with the leeches, but very fascinating.
Thank you. It was great being here and talking to you.
And as you're listening, if you have any questions that you would like me to address, please feel free to go ahead and contact me at the Pet Doctor at Pet Life Radio. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Please tune in again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.